Hello and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of July 2015. And I'm happy to be here to answer whatever questions you have. These are drop-in office hours where you can come and ask me whatever is going on and I can give you answers. It's always good to come and hear other people's cases and whatever else is going on. So I know that a couple of you submitted cases and there's some kind of strange thing that happens that sometimes they don't come to my email. So it's just that there's an attachment and there wasn't. So I'm hoping that Lynn was able to get me those attachments. And I'm looking right now because I see Laura is on. And Laura, you had submitted some stuff. Okay, so there are four files. I'm opening them now. I tried to open them in advance and they didn't have them. So she had to go find out where they were and retrieve them. That's one. So it's basically you've got two people's master health trackers. It's like Colleen and you. Oh, wait, Colleen's is, sorry, that's, yours is just yours. Okay, Colleen's is Sequoia. Got it. All right, cool. I'm just going to get those open. I'll get them all open so I can access them, and then we'll start tomorrow. All right, so I've got Laura's open and it's a master health tracker, so I'm going to open up your line, Laura. Okay, got your tracker. Perfect, and then let me open up your line. All right. All right, Laura, hello.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi. So tell me what's on tap. You submitted your tracker, and what did you want? Did you have specific questions? Did you want to review it? Tell me what's going on.
Yes, I was curious about my iron levels that I entered in there because one doctor told me that the total iron was high and that I needed to stop my iron supplement immediately. And then another doctor looked at it and said because my ferritin was low that I needed iron supplementation. And so I was just a little confused. I thought
yeah,
I could
of course.
Ask you and,
ooh,
and just get some clarification.
That's really high. So to me, and your ferritin is, what's your ferritin? Is it in here?
27.7.
Yeah. Was it lower than that at one point?
Yes. Yeah. It used to be really, really low.
Okay, so both iron and ferritin used to be really, really low?
Yes, yeah, like anemic.
Okay.
And I've been gradually working on getting that up.
And so how? What was the most previous test before this one on the iron?
You know that I don't remember.
I'm just wondering if it's creeping up or if it jumped up dramatically.
That's a good question. And I have my medical records at home. I'm not home right now, but I could look that up later.
Okay. And then in terms of that, how much iron were you taking at the time that you had the 211?
I was doing the Garden, is it the Garden of Life? The blood, the raw supplement.
Yeah.
I was taking, I think it's two capsules was in a dosage.
Yeah.
So I was taking that. I could look it up. To be specific.
Yeah, but that's
hard. I'm not home right now, otherwise I could grab it and tell you.
Yeah, no, I know that's fine. I know that supplement. So it's not like you were taking an exorbitant amount. So I'm also looking at your total iron binding capacity. Boy, your vitamin D is awfully low.
Yes, and I've been really working on trying to get that up as well.
Okay.
And it's getting higher. They checked it last in May, and it was 40.1, and then in March, and then in May it was 51. So it's going up slowly.
That's such a tiny, it's just a tiny increase. How much of vitamin D are you taking?
10,000.
Are you open to taking more for a little bit of time and get it up? Are you taking K with it too?
Yes, yeah, I'm taking the Super K with it, and I'm totally open to taking more. I would love to get them up higher. At one point,
yeah.
I was like in the 90s, and my doctor kind of freaked out and told me to stop, and I wish I had it now after, you know, all the stuff that we've been talking about with the thyroid and wanting that 75 to 100.
Yeah.
I was like, they were like, this is too high. You need to immediately stop the
thyroid. Oh, yeah. Well, if they look at the studies all show, you know, with cancers, that the closer it is to 100, the less and less, and it just practically disappears with all kinds of cancers. There's a whole bunch
yes,
of them. I don't know.
I remember you talking about that, and with my history of cancer, I was like, well, then I want them high.
You want it high, absolutely. So what you can do, Laura, is just do it for 6 weeks or 4 weeks. Just go to 20,000 for 4 to 6 weeks and then test it again. And you may just have to test it frequently to find out what dose it takes, because it's going to be a different dose to maintain it than it is going to be to get there. So once you get to where you want to be, then you'll take it, you know, do four weeks again and test it again. And but once you get there, you'll have a general idea of how much it takes to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a very tiny, you know, 2 months to go up by 10 points, and, you know, on 10,000, you probably have vitamin D receptor issues. Maybe you're not taking enough K, but if you're taking the full dose of K, you're probably okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and I try to go outside, like in addition to the 10,000, I try to go outside, you know, without sunscreen or anything, kind of between 11 and 3 for like 20 minutes. So I've been trying to do that too. I'm like, get some sun, take the supplements.
Yeah, so that's with sun that only went up by 10. So there's, you know, there's something going on with the metabolism there. Looking back, you had the TIBC and everything else, but okay, where is it? So 59 transferrin saturation is high, TIBC. What's interesting though is your TIBC, your total iron binding capacity, is a little on the high side, which you wouldn't expect because that's usually the free. Unless this lab is measuring differently, but usually total iron binding capacity is what's left after the iron binds. And with a 211, I would have expected that number to be super low.
Okay, and I don't know if this just helps, but I was able to use an app, and I found the last time that my endocrinologist checked was in 2013, but I have the ferritin and total iron and TIBC and percent transferrin saturation from back then. I know it's
okay,
a long
well, what
way there.
The iron. Well, yeah, but what was the iron and ferritin? That's the main one we're going to look at.
The ferritin was 14.3, and the total iron was 66.
Okay. So in a year, you managed to go up to 211. Now, the thing that I'm concerned about is that you've got that much iron, but you're not storing it. So what's going on with that storage mechanism is where I'm looking. I'm looking at your MCV2, right? Because that's right there in the normal range. But you've got an RDW of 13.5, which suggests there might be some B12 folate deficiency superimposed on that. Because the red cell distribution width would be the variation in the sizes. And usually, you know, the ideal is below 13. The lab range is 14.8 is the high, but that's usually one of the first things to go. So you got normal MCVs. It's just not, you know, it's not like textbook. So
yeah,
you know,
not many things are with me.
Really yeah, so you're. So what I want to do is look at, I'm just going to do a quick search because I want to see if there's a specific, it might be a liver thing where you're not, at, or an enzyme that, you know, just don't have the cofactor for taking the iron and converting it. So I want to just see if I can quickly find mechanism, you know, if I can see that pathway.
for iron to ferritin. Iron.
And I've had a lot of surgeries, you know, two big, big surgeries, you know, within the past year. I don't know if that's...
You know, it could. I mean, certainly with surgeries come medications. Obviously, you need pain medications and anesthesia and all that, and that could be putting a strain on your... let me do something. I'm still looking to see if I can find some place that shows me a mechanism, a pathway.
Okay.
To me, that's where I like to look. You know, research is one thing, but understanding the pathways can be very helpful. Let's see. Iron disorders. How does ferritin store iron? Here we go. Holosphere. In the sphere, the iron is stored as Fe. Incorporated in the... to attach the moving wall. To release iron when the body needs it, the iron must be changed from the Fe3 form. The oxidation. I wonder if you're not able to convert it to the form that's stored, which is Fe3, I need just to know more about that, how that happens. Because the storage form is what, you know, iron 3. There's different oxidation states, and 2 is the active form in the blood. That's all it says about that. So let me just, you know, it's kind of like when you're doing research and trying to understand things, you're going through a hole. You know, you just keep following the breadcrumbs, so to speak. So what I'm going to do is then hold that open and look for Fe. Conversion. Here we go. Well, that's the opposite way, but let's see here. 6-hydroxymelatonin converts from the 3 form to the 2 form. Did you actually test your melatonin?
Yeah, it was really low.
It was really low.
Yeah, I on my last, on that BioHealth, it was really low. And so I started supplementing that. I got the liquid, and I've been doing... I think it was like 0.25, like a fourth of a dropper every night to help sleep because my melatonin was low. That's interesting.
When did you start taking it compared to when this test was done?
Let me think. This test was done in probably, I've probably only been on it for about a month. So I hadn't started that when.
You hadn't started it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say let's see how that goes.
Okay, and stop taking my iron supplementation and just do the melatonin.
Yeah, I would stop taking the iron. Well, yeah, I would stop taking the iron right now. See if you can get that level down, and then we can see if the ferritin also goes down. If you can then start the iron again with the melatonin and see if it will convert.
Okay. Yeah. Because I just looked it up on the BioHealth. That was done in March 30th, mm-hmm. and the melatonin was 5.1, yeah, and like the range was 12 to 35.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was done in back in the only thing
this
had
like
in
early
May.
March.
Yeah, this was definitely before. Yeah, that's what I would do. Have you stopped your iron, or have you been taking it all along?
I stopped it.
You did stop it. And okay.
Yeah, I did stop it, and I was just wondering if that was a good thing to do.
Well, yeah, so you did stop it when they told you to after you got this test result back. Then you started taking the melatonin, and so which means that you've probably been taking the melatonin for a month, a little over a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've been off the iron. You can go and test this again. Let's see. You can go and just test it again. Just test the iron and the ferritin.
Okay.
And see where they're at right now, because that way you can say, well, it's somewhat better, not better, and then we have more information. That's what I would do. I would just test it right now.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. And just get my vitamin D rechecked too.
and get your vitamin D rechecked. So get all those three rechecked and then adjust what you're doing accordingly.
Okay.
The other thing I'm looking at your lab, though, is what's with the iron, the blood sugar being high?
I know. I saw that at 90. And that, you know, I've been really working on that hard with my diet. And I know for me that any, even gluten-free grains, like when I started testing, because like occasionally I would get like a gluten dairy-free pizza, and oh my gosh, I tested that and it really, it like shot me up to 172.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really took all grains out because I saw what they were doing to my blood sugar and really watching, you know, only going to low glycemic fruits and not even having them that much. And the only thing that I can think of with that, it's something that I've been working on for a while, is I'm hoping now that all the surgeries are done that maybe that will start to normalize.
Well, you've been living with a chronic state of inflammation for a long, long time, and that's going to affect your blood sugar regulation mechanism.
Yeah. So just kind of keep with that.
I would start measuring your blood sugar again and then see. And then you might even get a hemoglobin A1C with your when you're doing those others and just see what it's, you know, the long-term status of it is.
Okay.
And
see what's going on with that.
Yeah. Just keep it. Just eat the foods. Do the 30-day metabolic. Now that you've done your surgery, go and do the 30-day metabolic reset again. You know, the real strict, monitor, do the chromium and all the other nutrients, and then retest at the end of that. Because I think, you know, you've been through so much with two surgeries in 6 months that I think that now, I think I would just do a reset. I would just go back and do the reset again.
What do you think, one of my chiropractor was recommending, and I don't remember that physician, but the book that you were talking about last night, the Why Do I Still Feel Bad When My Lab Tests?
Oh, yeah, Dr. T's Tarazian. Uh-huh.
Yes. I guess his protocol in the book was like to put people on a 3-day liquid fast and then do 5 days of just raw vegetables kind of as a reset. Do you think my only concern with doing that was I am still in stage 2 adrenal fatigue, and I was just wondering if that would be an issue, because even trying to balance my blood sugars now, it's interesting. Some days I can go the 4 hours between meals, and some days, and I try to look at my food before that and see why, you know, like some days I'll start to get shaky and feel yucky after 2 hours of eating. But
you might have a modification on that. So yeah, so stage 2, you can generally do it. Stage 3, I got to be a little bit more careful with fasting, but you might try just doing, like, start it with a 3-day, like, liquid-only, you know, a protein powder type of meal replacement thing.
Okay.
Or just smoothies, you know, just something that's going to give you a smoothie with some coconut oil or something just to maintain it, and then gradually come off that and then see, go to that twice a day, go to that once a day, and then try to do some water. So ease into the water, in other words, instead of just doing, he said 3 days of water or 1 day of water?
Yeah, he was like a 3-day liquid fast and then a 5-day raw vegetable fast.
Yeah, so I would do the liquid fast as not a water fast, but see how you do with just doing shakes for 3 days.
Okay.
And see if that can get your blood sugar down. And if you feel like you want to try 1 day of, the way that you can test to see how you're going to do on water fasting is to have breakfast, have a good breakfast or a nice, you know, protein, green kind of breakfast, and then skip and see if you can skip through the next morning and then have breakfast again. So that's a great way to do a 24-hour water, and you can see how you do with that.
So just have a really good breakfast and then water the rest of the day.
Just water the rest of the day till the next morning and see how you feel. If you're feeling like really, really bad, you know, and you feel like it's just draining you, then maybe you don't do it. But, I personally did a 28-day fast when I was in stage 3 adrenal fatigue. And it got me out of stage 3 adrenal fatigue. So
wow.
I figure everybody's different. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that helps me because I was kind of fearful of like, oh, gosh, I already have blood sugar issues, and am I going to feel awful?
Yeah, so just try it that way. And then you can always just say, well, the liquid, just do 3 days of liquid where it's either smoothies with coconut oil, a protein powder kind of
you know, meal replacement. They have those, you know, Apex has one, Thorne has one, but also the good Whole Foods kind of companies have them too. I like Purium. Purium has a really nice one. It's just all greens and herbs and things like that. So there's a lot of them that you could do, and just do it that way, just to give your digestive tract a rest and keep the blood sugar steady, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I will definitely try that.
Yep. Okay, good. And the only other things I see is a slightly acid, so the carbon dioxide at 24, so a little bit of acidity, and potassium is really low. Are you supplementing with potassium?
No.
You know, it happens a lot when you go on a low glycemic diet, because a lot of the high potassium foods are the high glycemics, like potatoes and bananas and things. So lots of broccoli, that's good. But I would get yourself a liquid ionic potassium, because it's scary low. I mean, it's not like, oh yeah, it's borderline. But I would just go ahead and do that for at least a month and get that up.
Okay. And how much of the liquid should I be using? Like
whatever the dose is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and your protein's okay. It's a little on the alkaline phosphatase. It's a little high. You know, a lot of this stuff is related to the liver. I would, you know, wait to even think about it because of the surgeries, you know, alk-phos and things like that. But that's where I would go with this.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good. Have you, random other question, have you heard of, like, NUCCA, N-U-C-C-A, the training, like chiropractic training for the Atlas? And
yep.
Is that something, I had never heard of it before, and that was something that somebody had mentioned, like, for the daily headaches and migraines and things that I was having. I wasn't sure if you,
certainly worth looking at. I mean, I'm not a dogma person, so there's people who go into those protocols and they just do those protocols. Like, they dump everything else they've ever learned, and they think that that's going to be the be-all and the end-all. But certainly as an adjunctive to what you're already doing, and if you're still having the headaches, I would say give it a try. But find somebody who's really good at it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, for sure. Another one, let me see if she's on. Sequoia had asked if we could do hers, and let me see. Sequoia, if you're on, please raise your hand, because sometimes you come on the Skype phones or some other phones, and I don't recognize you. I don't. And Sequoia, if you're on the web, just type in that you're on the web. Yeah, the chat is not working today, Beverly. Chat is, they still list it as in beta mode, so it's just an excuse for it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't, we don't know. Okay, so what I'm going to do then, when Sequoia comes up, she submitted a case, and she said she wanted to do it today, but I don't see her here. So let's just open it up for questions, comments, if you have any labs of anybody that you want to look at or you want me to look at. Just
Dr.
let me know. You can always send them to me. Yeah.
I'm wondering, and this is just a guess, if she's not the Vancouver, BC person. I know it's not a Skype, but...
Well, she might be, but she didn't raise her hand when I asked her to, so let me see.
Okay.
Vancouver oftentimes is Steph or Elaine, but now I don't see the Vancouver. Oh, there it is, Vancouver. Let's see. Hello, Vancouver. Who's in Vancouver? Is that Steph? No? Is it Elaine? I have Vancouver open. Maybe you have your phone muted. That's strange. And maybe you're, maybe it's just somebody who's not in Vancouver, and it's one of those weird, you know, sometimes if people call from Google phones or voice over IP phones, it's just it's crazy where they show.
Yeah, everybody start talking.
everybody start talking. Just start talking, and we'll see if anybody shows through. That's a good idea. Well, since I don't hear anybody, Vancouver is somehow muted or something. Maybe they're at work and they walked away from the phone or can't talk or are listening in a doctor's office or who knows. Anyway, all right, so questions, comments. This is an open office hour call.
So I love to hear your questions. Do you have any cases that you're working on? I mean, just share. Otherwise, we get a break and the call is over. Nobody? Jar 2, raise your hand. There we go. Angela.
I was talking when you asked us to talk so you could hear us.
Well, you were, but we had everybody closed except for Vancouver. That was the whole, yeah, so you were talking.
Okay.
But go ahead. Hi.
Set everyone's up. So I have a lab here. I'm just, I didn't think I was going to make it on the call, so I'm just trying to figure out how to upload this to you if you want to go to someone else and then come back to me. But I am here with a lab.
Here's how to do it quickly. Send it to NEPT@DrRitaMarie.com.
Okay.
And that'll come right to my inbox. And then we'll look at it. And then in the meantime, while you're doing that, if you can tell us a little bit about the person, we'll have the background, and then we'll look at the lab.
I've been talking to you about it for a couple times. I wanted to state it.
Okay.
And, yes, high cholesterol. High LDL. Actually, right now he doesn't because the doctor just put him on 60 milligrams of Lipitor. So his LDL is actually low, but my job is to figure out why it was high and bring it back down,
right.
And hopefully
right.
His doctor will take him off of it. So I'm actually with him now in Colorado traveling for a bit, so I have a lot of access to him. That's why I really want to jump on the call today. And, yeah, he eats well. He exercises a lot, especially out here, like more than most people do ever.
I haven't seen it yet. Let me just go look. But has he?
I haven't seen
what
trying to
doing think. His blood sugars.
I had him test his own blood sugar. Sorry, I'm not trying to talk so slow. I'm just trying to multitask here. I had him test his own blood sugar for a week. I actually only asked him to do it for a full day, and he did it for a whole week. Okay, I'm sending it with no subject. It's coming through right now.
Okay.
And the numbers were pretty reasonable. I mean, they were good. It reached 110. I told him not to change anything he was doing because I wanted to get, like, a clear idea. And it would reach, like, 110 even if he had drank wine. It was crazy. And then so his is the A1C that we would be looking at to see what it would be.
Yeah,
hemoglobin
A1C.
Test.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe I have it here. I just sent you the thing, so it will be coming.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, his vitamin D is low, too.
Okay. And how old is
he? I don't know
if
I didn't put that on there. 67.
67. So his glucose, fasting glucose is high. It's 97. So
yeah.
He's definitely got some glucose issues there. His uric acid is high.
Oops, sorry.
His bun is high. So he's got some, maybe some kidney stuff going on. let's see. His protein is low.
I saw that too. His hemoglobin A1C is 5.6.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, whatever he was doing during that period of time, either his meter wasn't accurate or he wasn't catching his peaks, or he's getting high levels. Maybe he's having high overnight levels, which might be looking at some stress, maybe some parasites, things like that. But there's clearly a sugar issue. With a fasting blood sugar of 97 and a hemoglobin A1C of 5.6, there's clearly that. He's probably got some malabsorption issues going on here. His protein is a little low. His globulin is low. His alkaline phosphatase is low. So this could explain some of the stomach stuff because low alkaline phosphatase can be implying low zinc because it's an important enzyme for that. And low zinc will interfere with stomach acid production.
They have him on, the only other medicine that he's on is an antacid, great, right? because years ago he was getting polyps in his esophagus. He never had heartburn, but he was getting polyps in his lower esophagus, and they said that he was getting silent heartburn. So then they put him on medication, which is tough because it's silent. We can't. It's hard to even experiment with it because he's not feeling it when it comes. So that was 2 years ago. So I asked him to go back to the doctor and, you know, check on it again because 2 years of being on that medicine.
Yeah, he's messing up his girls, and he's messing up his magnesium is going to be low probably, which is important for his cardiac function. What about why did they even look at his esophagus? I'm a little confused as to that, if it was silent.
He was just doing a regular routine where they do the colonoscopy and the esophagus. I forget exactly what that test is called, but when they check the colonoscopy and the esophagus, they usually do it at the same time.
It's not usually routine, but okay. So here's the deal. So has he ever had reflux problems that he knows about?
No. The doctors told him it was silent.
Okay. So there's other ways to deal with that, because it's not that he's producing too much stomach acid, it's that the acid is going up into the wrong place. So just lowering the stomach acid is not fixing the real problem, which is why is it going up into the wrong place? So it could be that he has a hiatal hernia, which would be that the top of the stomach is just shooting up into the lower esophageal sphincter. Could be that all along what he's had is low stomach acid, which causes a weakening of the lower esophageal sphincter and then reflux. So most people that have reflux actually have low stomach acid, not high. So when they give them acid-lowering medications, they're actually making the problem worse.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of the digestion and health.
And the rest of the digestion suffers because he is not getting enough protein. He's not getting enough minerals. You know, you can put him on extra protein powders. You can put him on extra minerals and all. But that's not going to solve the real problem, right? You really need to get his stomach acid to be appropriate and to protect the esophagus, figure out why it's going up, right? And it could be just going up because the stomach acid's too low. And, you know, this is a hard topic to talk to people about because it's like, well, wait a minute. You think I have too low stomach acid, but the doctor put me on antacids. Like, what's the deal? I mean, they can certainly go back in and take another scope and see if it's been 2 years and they haven't rechecked. That, to me, is not called scientific evaluation. It's just called random guess and check.
Right.
So what I would do if I were him is I would go back and say, well, I want to see. I'm concerned about the stomach acid being low. I'm concerned because now my protein's low. I'm concerned about creating mineral deficiencies. And I want to see if those polyps have gone away. Now, the two ways that I would approach somebody who has reflux, whether it's silent reflux or loud reflux, is I would be looking at how do I protect and rebuild the lining? So how do I do that with the mucous membrane? DGL, licorice, has been found in study after study after study to actually work better than the antacids at healing ulcers. So even though he doesn't have an ulcer, it's similar, right? It's damage to the mucosal lining in the esophagus. So I would put him on some DGL, maybe some slippery elm. You said he drinks wine. How often does he drink wine?
All the time.
Okay, wine weakens. Okay, so wine weakens the lower esophageal sphincter.
Wow.
Wine also disrupts mucous membranes in the digestive tract. So alcohol, does he have any other bad habits?
Caffeine? I would say wine is the biggest one.
Okay. What about caffeine?
Yeah, he drinks coffee in the morning, 1 cup or 2 cups.
Okay. So here's a deal, right? We're looking for a solution to a problem, as opposed to looking at the big picture of what habits does he have that are creating imbalance, and how do we get rid of those habits? And put him on don't tell him it's for life, just put him on a trial, right? Put him on a 6 week, 30 day, 90 day, whatever period of a cleanse kind of thing, a reset, like the 30 day metabolic reset.
he's a good candidate for doing the 30-day metabolic reset, which is going to get him off of the wine and the coffee and get him on the low glycemic foods and really approach it from a standpoint. And then you can go back and retest to see where things are at after that. But I would add to that 30-day metabolic reset things like DGL. I would add some minerals because the zinc is showing up that it's probably a little bit low, but many of the others might be as well. I would make sure at least he's getting zinc and magnesium.
Is that on there?
Is magnesium on there? No.
Okay, no.
Serum magnesium is not that great a test. It's not really that accurate. You need to do a white blood cell or red blood cell magnesium to get a good test.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that just because of, you know, heart disease type of stuff, if we're trying to prevent heart disease by getting the cholesterol down. What was his cholesterol before? How high did it go?
I think 143 was his LDL.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way to approach it. So a lot of times, you know, it's easy to fall into an allopathic thought process when we're approaching a case. They've got this out of balance, what nutrients are going to help it. You know, well, we're doing this and he seems he's on a good diet, but realistically maybe he's on a good diet, but he's got a couple of habits there that can be impacting. I would be looking at what other things, you know, is he eating white flour products? Is he off of gluten?
Very little gluten.
Okay, but very little is not off of gluten, right?
Okay, I think it should come off of all together.
That's what I would do. So why I would just say, look, we're going to do a 30-day metabolic reset. Are you game? Let's see what it does. And then put him on the B4 30-day metabolic reset.
Okay,
and then you can talk to him after you see how it goes. But he's got some bad habits that can be impacting his health. And it may seem like, oh, they're minor. He doesn't eat that much gluten. What does that mean, not that much? He only eats it once a couple of times a week. He only eats a little bit every day. Or twice a year he has birthday cake with his mother and his father. You know, that's they're totally different. Like, what does it mean? Like, not that much? And if he says it, not that much, then it's our job to say, really dig and say, well, what does that mean, not that much? How often is it? How often exactly is it? Because some people think it's not that much because they only have one piece of bread every day.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't eat bread. His wife doesn't eat any gluten. But they eat in restaurants all the time, which makes it very hard.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. It's just a matter of asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of restaurants. 20 years ago, I would totally agree with that. It's really hard to eat out.
Oh, not just for the gluten, just in general. Just in general.
Yeah.
They eat out every night.
Oh, yeah. So then they're getting good quality food. They're getting pesticide-laden food, right? GMO-rich food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all the kind of things that, you know, if they can find a restaurant that serves organic food and makes high-quality stuff, but the chances are good that that's not true.
Right.
Right. So this is really a matter of, like, really revamping somebody's lifestyle. He may have objection to it. He may say that I really would rather just be on cholesterol medication and stick my head in the sand.
Yeah.
Did he seek you out for help, or is this a relative that you're trying to help?
This is a client of mine. I've been working with him in other aspects, in fitness and massage.
Yeah.
And you know, he's been listening to the stuff I do for a long time is concerned about his cholesterol because he had to raise it from 20 milligrams to 40 milligrams, and then he had to raise it again to 60, and his testosterone is low.
Yeah.
He has prostate removed, so his testosterone is low, and I'm telling him that the Lipitor is not helping the testosterone.
No. Not at all. Not at all. So I think you're going to have to pick your battles with them and start with some things. And sometimes for people it's like doing a 30-day reset or a 7-day reset. You know what I mean? Modify it down and make it 7 days, make it palatable. And then just there's going to be a lot of re-education. The going out to dinner a lot is a biggie. Right? If they're going out to dinner every day, it's hard. Yeah.
It's crazy. I've been out here with them since the 30th of June. I'm in Colorado with them, and every night there's an event, every single night.
Mm.
Every single night. It's unbelievable. I don't know how they do it. I'm exhausted. And he's 67 years old.
Yeah. Well, 67 years old is not old at all in any stretch.
No, I know, but I'm 32 and I'm hiking and biking with him.
Oh, and you can't keep up with him at 32.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, maybe it's the coffee you just have to. Yeah.
He'll be down for the 7-day reset.
Yeah. Yeah, have him do that, right?
Should I have him
about this? You're not going to get that much change in lab numbers in 7 days. That's the thing.
Right.
But,
right.
Because in a lot of the stuff, this is the biggest problem, right? The people that have the overt symptoms are sometimes easier than the people who are just walking time off, right? They don't have the overt symptoms, and they may not be willing to be as dramatic or drastic. So I would do some research and look into, you know, the effects of alcohol on blood sugar, the effects of alcohol on the liver, the effects of alcohol on cholesterol. There's plenty of studies on that. And the effects of these various things that maybe will help you to help him.
Great. I put him on a gentle liver cleanse, but he didn't hold to it very well. But, you know, I put him on some supplements for 21 days. And, he didn't hold to the non-drinking part very well. So maybe a 7-day will help him.
Right, 7-day increments. You can then negotiate at the end of 7 days. Wow, can we keep this going for another 7 days? That wasn't so bad, was it?
Mm-hmm. So should I have him prick his finger as well?
Well, you know, the pricking the finger didn't seem to be. I would have him test his morning glucose and see if it's consistent with this, but the 97 is pretty high. I would minimally have him test it before bed and in the morning and see what's going on. If he's going to bed with it normal, you know, in the 80s, and then he wakes up at 97, then you have to look at what's happening overnight to cause that. But if he's going to bed with it at 97, then you want to look at what's going on in that meal before. Is he eating too close to bedtime? Is that when he has his alcohol? Is that when he has it? It's in the evening. That may be raising it, and the food is fine during the day. Usually it's with dinner that they're having their glass of wine or two or three.
Yeah, it would stay pretty solid throughout the evening. Like, it would go up a little bit and come down a little bit after he ate and drank wine. And then, so when they do the blood test here with the glucose, I mean, that's not fasting glucose.
Should be.
Right?
This whole thing should be fasting. Usually when you're going to the blood
panel. I don't
think
you fast for this.
Oh, well, that would explain the glucose.
I'm
going to
ask about that.
I would ask. I don't think they. I think they would. I mean, they would be totally irresponsible if they didn't tell him to fast with doing a test like this, because that's industry standard. That's, you know, that's what everybody does. So it's probably fasting.
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, these doctors that are the best of the best are really confusing me how they got that status.
He said it's the best of the best. What?
The doctors, all these doctors that are supposedly the best of the best, it confuses me how they get these statuses.
Oh, I have no idea. I mean,
last
night I just lost it on the call with people, like, at the incompetence of their doctors, and it just really touched me deeply because these people, I would call it malpractice and abuse, some of what they were telling them completely. So I don't know where they get the status, the best of the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Self-proclaimed title, probably. Well, you know, like, people do that. I mean, David Wolf says he's the world's foremost nutrition expert. Who said that? David Wolf said that, right? Somebody says that I'm the, you know, the best cardiac surgeon. Who says that? I said that. My wife said that, right? And people buy it, right? That people put an ad in the Yellow Pages that said, you know, the top rated. Maybe he was top rated by the AMA. Who knows, these companies that don't really have a sense of what quality is. I mean, a quality practitioner would be somebody who really deeply cares for their clients and patients, and they're sitting there with them and going, huh, these numbers are a little funny. Let me research. Let me see why. Let's see if we can bring you to optimal. We want to keep you off medication and treat this naturally, not just like, oh, you have this problem. Here, take this for 2 years, and we won't even recheck to see if it's improved. You know?
Like the person last night whose doctor said, here, take the vitamin D. Your levels are only, you have a 12, which is very low on vitamin D. Here's vitamin D. Take this 50,000 once a week for 8 weeks, and then you're done. And they never retested it. Like, I don't get it, right? I don't get it. So I'm skeptical when they say, yeah, so I got the best doctor in town, so I'm going to listen to him. And yeah, it sounds like a guy who might just really take a lot of credence for what the doctor's saying. But clearly he's had some imbalances, right? He lost his prostate. Why is his prostate gone? Right?
Prostate cancer.
What other? Cancer. Okay, he's had cancer. He can't be on alcohol. He can't be on caffeine. He can't be on gluten. He has to be on 100% organic foods 100% of the time, or as close as possible. Right? If you've had cancer, you already have had your body muck up. And you can't go back to the same habits that you had before, even if it was, quote, unquote, a good diet. So these are the tough ones for us, right? The toughest ones when people are saying, yeah, but I'm on a good diet. Yeah. And it, you obviously care, and you want to have, you want to help them. And it's a matter of finding, you're going to have to work with the little things that you can get them to do and then the next little thing and really try to work into the conversation. Look, you've had cancer. You got to be a little bit more careful than most people. The food you're eating in these restaurants is not high-quality food. It's not organic.
It's expensive.
It's very expensive, sure, but is it organically raised? If he's eating meat, is he eating meat?
Yeah.
Probably, right? Yeah. So it's not organically raised meat. It's loaded with pesticides, herbicides, antibiotics. Right? Is he eating charbroiled meat? Is he eating a nice charbroiled steak? That's got more carcinogens than a cigarette.
Oof. He eats fish a lot, and I think he's getting a lot of farmed fish from the restaurant because he eats fish.
He's getting farmed fish, which is anemic.
More than anything.
And if he's eating ocean fish, he shouldn't be doing it more than twice a week. Even the government says that you get too much mercury in if you eat fish more than twice a week.
And
we know that they're not a preservative. So yeah, so... I think really talking about the quality of the food.
Hearing my computer in my book.
Say it again.
That wasn't me.
Oh. Who was that? Oh, somebody that just came. Ah.
Sorry, I must not be on mute.
Yes, who is that?
It's me, it's Steph. I must not be on mute. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I unmuted you earlier because we were trying to figure out who Vancouver was. You didn't answer, so I left it open, just hoping that
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I've been biting my tongue here.
Yes, please. Please.
So all this dietary stuff is totally so important, and he's totally got to do that. And I just also want to add, balancing blood sugar while you're taking Lipitor is freaking very difficult.
Yeah.
That stuff sucks. I don't want to go on a total tirade, but I know somebody, someone that I mentioned this to, they went, their blood sugar in the morning was 12.5 in Canada, which is insane. It's very, very high. And it went back down to 5.5 within a couple months of going off of Lipitor.
So I just
wanted to mention that. That stuff.
Do that. Might be why the
Lipitor plus red wine equals heart attack. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
Well, Lipitor, red wine, history of prostate cancer.
Yeah. Guy, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But they told him to take it. Like, it's, you know, I understand his position, but it's just, that stuff is so bad. But if he's able to do all this other stuff and do it really well and it's still not really working. I've been doing a lot of reading about H. pylori and all sorts of weird things in the body and its connection to all sorts of things that are caused by GERD and different cancers like stomach cancer, duodenal cancer, pancreatic cancer. So I don't know. It just might be something after you've done all this stuff to have them really do a good test for H. pylori.
Well, H. pylori is a possibility, right? Because it's going to create. He's already got those hidden reflux stuff. So
exactly,
that's a possibility. Yep. Good input. Thank you. Really good input. So it's just, you know, for you, Angela, it's just a matter of figuring out how how, you know, to handle him, to get him to buy in, rather than to have him be, you know, like, this is my lifestyle and I don't want to give up my red wine and my restaurant food.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. He'll eat anything. But those two things are definitely
going
to be tough.
Right. So if you can link it to something he wants the most or doesn't want, them, you know, wants the least, right? If he doesn't want a recurrence of a cancer somewhere else in his body, if what he wants is to, you know, to be able to have this nice, busy lifestyle well into his 70s, 80s, and 90s, then there's things that he has to do. Because at 67, there's already a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
And I think of 67 as young.
Mm-hmm. So what we were saying about the fish, you were saying wild-caught fish only twice a week. Would you say, I mean, I've been talking to him about more vegetarian meals. In his mind, vegetarian meals is a salad, and he's bored and not satiated. So I'm working with him to show him other vegetarian meals to add into that. So really just fish twice a week. I mean, he's probably having fish. I want to say, do he eat it for lunch and dinner?
Oh, I think it's too much. I mean, I personally think it's too much. It's a toxic load. You know, you add that to whatever he's eating in the restaurants is loaded with pesticides, GMOs, you know. And he's not 100% off the gluten. And the gluten is like, you know, especially if he's eating it out. Maybe he doesn't eat it at home because his wife is sensitive to it, but they eat it out. That's the worst place to do it because you know it's GMO. You know it's loaded with glyphosate. So, right. And, it, you know, it's hard for people to look at. They think we're being, like, really picky and like, oh, I don't want to be that strict, but look around, man. Do you want to be a statistic?
Right.
Yeah. I know. I feel you. I feel it. I feel you. You know, it's frustrating to be in that situation.
The licorice and the slippery elm, do you recommend how I can get that to him? Like, in what form? In capsules?
You can get them. Slippery elm, no, not in capsules. I would just get powdered and have him make a little tea with it. Licorice is very tasty if he likes it, but some people hate it. But you put some DGL, because I wouldn't do regular licorice. It might raise his blood pressure. And even if his blood pressure is good right now because he's got this cholesterol thing and blood sugar thing, I would not mess with straight licorice. But DGL powder, you can get powdered DGL, Vital Nutrients or Thorn or Pure Encapsulations, they all have it. And then you get slippery elm powder. And you have them boil some water, and you put the licorice and the slippery elm in a cup, and you pour it in, and you make a kind of a tea out of it, and you just drink it. Ideally, you drink it before each meal to protect the lining and soothe it, but it's very healing.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, good luck with this. Keep us posted along the way with this, right? And just know that it's one step at a time. Like Tony and I had a conversation on the radio yesterday. It's like you really, one of the arts of this whole process is picking your battles and like which one can I pick right away that's going to give him the most bang for the buck and is also maybe going to be one that he can buy into easily.
Yeah, I'm really concerned with the stomach thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sugar.
Because getting off the antacids is something he needs to do. He's not absorbing his protein. He's not absorbing his minerals. The minerals are so critical for everything.
Yeah.
It's like this vicious cycle you get into that everything starts to fall apart, and then they put medication in to take care of the problem that was caused by the other medication. Good luck with this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Angela, we have Beverly and then, Vancouver. Okay, so Beverly, hello. Sounds like you might be listening to me on the web, Beverly, and I'm hearing an echo.
Kind of a tea out of it and drink it. Ideally, you drink it before each meal.
Okay, Beverly? No?
The line is included,
okay,
but,
well, your line is open, but you're not there because I'm hearing back feedback. Okay, I'll leave it. And then we'd open up Steph again. Yeah, you had your hand up, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the H. pylori thing. So that was why my hand was up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your input. I appreciate it. Good input.
Yes.
Really good input.
Thanks for letting me.
Oh, yeah. And I know we all get kind of frustrated with this stuff when we hear these doctors doing stuff and they're not really understanding the science behind what they're doing. They're just doing protocol. They're just rote doing protocol. And it just drives me crazy because the things I hear from people is, you know, oh, yeah, you read it online, like this disgruntled, you know, the quackbusters or whatever, that we alternative people don't do things according to science.
Yeah.
And then, what? What? So you guys do, right? Oh, it's really scientific to say, oh, you have low vitamin D. Here, take this vitamin D for 8 weeks and then you're done without going back and testing it. Or, you know, oh, let's take your thyroid out rather than try to make it work again. Or, let's, you know, just like that's science?
That is not science.
That's not science. It's not science for sure. All right. So Tony has her hand up. Thank you, Steph. And Tony, hello.
Hello, Dr. Marie, and hello, everyone. First, Steph, I appreciate your passion, and thank you for speaking for all of us. I did want to add something to that. Dr. Marie, you mentioned, you know, about cutting out a thyroid. You may recall that I had a client, I still do, where they were going to remove her thyroid. Well, I have a happy story to share. I hadn't seen her in about a month, and we both live in the same area, and I went to an organic market, and she looked at me, and she said, Tony? And I said, Flora? I couldn't recognize her. I mean, she lost 40 pounds. Her skin was clear. She almost was running across the lot. I mean, she just looked like a woman half the age than when I first saw her, and they were going to take her thyroid within days of having met me. Mm. And I'm just so I just want to tell everybody, if you don't think you're making a difference, you are. You are.
Mm-hmm.
So keep doing what you're doing.
Wow. But for those of you who didn't hear that story, Tony came to a call. She's like, oh, I have this new patient coming in, or a new client, and she's coming in, and they want to take her thyroid. And I started asking her lots of questions about why, and it didn't seem like there was any imminent danger. There was no cancer. There was no polyps. They just thought that it was a good idea. And so Tony worked with her. And this is the result. This is awesome. Oh, my God. It gives me chills.
Yeah, me too. Trust me. And I do have a question. You may have answered it earlier. I have several clients who had low vitamin D, not uncommon, and just want to know what's a reasonable time frame to get retested, because I want to be judicious about spending their money on retesting,
yeah.
And I don't want to do it too early.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can see changes in vitamin D numbers quickly. And one of the things you can do, I mean, you can just put them on massive doses, like not 50,000 a week, 50,000 a day. Do that for 2 weeks and retest them. But most people don't want to spend the money to do that. But if they are willing to do it, you can. But then you don't also get the feedback as to how much. So it depends on where they're at. So I kind of have my little, like, guidelines. If they're below 10, I'm putting them on 20,000 for, like, 6 weeks to 3 months, and then having them retest probably 3 months even at 20,000. If they're willing to go higher and get tested sooner, then I would put them on more and have them test sooner. You can see changes in 4 to 6 weeks. If they're in, like, a range where I'm not sure, like, they're going up, but I'm not sure that they're really going to go up that quickly. So say they're at 40 and I really want them at 80, I may put them on, I may say, why don't you just do 20,000 for a month and then go to 10,000 and retest at 3 months.
Okay.
Right, because it depends on where they're coming from. Like if somebody gets their vitamin D tested and they're on no vitamin D and their level is at 40, that's a lot different than if somebody comes in and says, well, I've been taking 5,000 a day for 3 years and I'm at 40.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Because I have a couple kind of in that 30-40 range, and I'm it's been 3 months, and I'm ready to have them retest.
Okay.
Oh, if it's 3 months, absolutely have them retest, because then you don't want them to go too long with taking a substandard dose. You also don't want them to go too long at taking too much and raising them into the too high a level.
Right. Okay, good. That was very good direction. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and recommend the other two that are in the 30s and 40s to get theirs done. And for my clients that are in the teens, I'm going to do what you suggest, mega doses, and then invite them to test, like, within 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, maybe, you know, in the teens, you could probably have them do, if you have them do 20,000, which doesn't freak people out too much, then you can have them test in 4 to 6 weeks. But if you want to get really high, you want to see if you can get a change very quickly, you can go to 50,000 a day, but then test them in 3 to 4 weeks. But the
okay.
other thing is make sure the K, you've got the K going.
Okay. Well,
the K is really important. And I just go with, like,
a lot of green.
And green, yeah, but that's K2. So you kind of need, I mean, K1. You kind of need K2
okay.
to jumpstart the D.
So that would be a supplement form?
You can, yeah, I would do supplement form. You certainly get them to do the food, or natto as a food. They have them do natto.
Oh,
most
okay.
people don't want to eat natto. So, and it's hard to find. It doesn't taste good.
Yeah. Supplement.
But Karen has a good
okay.
recipe for it.
I'll get with Karen then about her recipes and see if I can convince my client to do that. Well, thank you so very much for allowing me to share my good news and the information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right? I'm going to look on the web to see if anybody's typed in any questions. And then raise your hand with a star, too, if you have any questions. Diane's on the web. Hi. Beverly is on the web. She's also on the phone. Allison was having a hard time. Oh, got on late. Thought it was an hour later. Allison, I think it's because you and your time zone's with our, what do you call that thing? Daylight savings time throws it off. Allison says, Skype connection is dreadful, so logged out of the phone but listening in on the web. Okay, great. And so I'm hearing what Steph is saying just now. I'll be able to answer any questions live. Hug to you from all. Dr. Hug. That's Allison. Yeah, Allison, if you have any input on any of that too. And, you know, I know you are a medical doctor, but you have a totally different approach than the ones that we're complaining about. But we're just, and you're tired of them too, I know. So I'm sure you're not taking offense to our tirades. But it doesn't include you because you're special. You're actually using your brain. I don't like to be too critical, but it's just the last 2 days it's driving me crazy with the kind of very, I think, irresponsible decisions that are being made. So, any other people, questions, comments? All right, one more. Beverly put her hand up. Maybe now we can hear you. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. My computer had broken last week, and I'm borrowing one, and I couldn't figure out, I can't get back into the meeting now, so, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. I'm like, all right, I just pulled the plug, it's really funky. I'm like, okay, I don't know what else to do here. I'm just going to do whatever I can do. So now I'm on the phone, and hi, and hello, everybody, and it's so good to hear your voices, and just grateful to be here today with you all. And I got set up to have a Meridian Valley Lab account, which I'm very grateful for. Thank you. And I'm a little unsure. I need to call them because I called them the first time I got it, the first day I got it, and they said that the lab test that's like Complete Plus or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking
expensive.
About?
Yeah, it's got everything. It's got melatonin. It's got oxytocin. It's got growth hormone, plus all the other estrogens and metabolites and everything else. It's a good panel. It's expensive, though. It's like, I don't know, $550 or something.
Well, I wanted to tell you all that they're having a sale on that until the end of this month.
Oh.
And you can get it run, and I believe it's Lynn's on the phone. If you're there, Lynn, is it $299 or $399? And I think it's
what?
$399 right now.
Okay. Well, it's worth it. It's definitely a good test. It's very comprehensive.
Rita Mae, I'm going to tell you. I mean, you know, I've been struggling since you and I have worked together. You've done incredible amounts of things for me and my health, as far as getting me, you know, completely off of gluten, no cheating whatsoever. I've been really good since I made that commitment to you and to myself. But I've really been struggling other ways in my life with my fog and my. It's funny. It's like these demons fighting every day in my head between the desire to have my business starting, being an amazing coach, getting out there, having a profession, being in the spotlight, and my health. I mean, like, I have really, really been struggling. And I know everybody has life challenges. I get it. I do. And that's just, you know, but I've been kind of one of those persons that you have sometimes pictures of on your website that has, like, their face on the table and they can't move. And I'm really scared right now. I don't know whether, you know, too many hits from too many different factors in my life, plus the earthquake, plus my surgeries, and now they're talking about doing a replacement shoulder surgery. I'm not interested. And my other shoulder is now acting up to the point, and the MRI findings are the same. And I'm like, no, I'm going to heal this without. And so everything else, now I'm looking at having to move out of my house. I cannot be in here while they're finishing these damaged walls and painting the whole entire house on top of clearing. My therapist said she was afraid that I wasn't coming out of the anesthesia very well. She said for it took me about 3 weeks before my eyes began to look normal. She said, you're not blinking. She goes, I'm telling you things, and I can tell you're not there. And she's known me we've been friends for 8 years. And she was really scared. So I'm really scared right now. And I know that I'm in these practitioner programs. I'm very grateful. I listen to them. I'm trying to, sometimes they sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to me. But I know, and Larry tells me all the time, because you know this stuff. You are very smart. What's going on? And he's kind of like scared for me too. And so right now I'm trying to figure out, let's get every single thing tested. I'm taking care of what I can here, lifestyle-wise. But what else could it possibly be? We're scared. And so I thought, let me ask you on a call like this, tell me what you think about just everything you possibly can think about getting tested, and let's make sure there's nothing else going on. Because, you know, I've got a lot of SNPs against me. You remember my SNPs?
Yeah, I remember that,
And so
I would do an organic acid test. Have you ever done an organic acid test?
No, I have not.
I would start with that. You don't want to overcomplicate things by throwing every test in the book, because then you get all these results and you don't know where to go. I like organic acid just because it gives you all of the different pathways, and it gives you and it's functional. It's not just you have low levels of vitamin B6. It's like functionally what's going on with it. So that's where I would start. I would start there. Now, what you might see in there, well, certainly gut, right? If you haven't done gut stuff, but the organic acid can point you there to whether you need to follow up with a stool test, because it gives you like a full page, like 14 or 18 different markers for gut, the toxins that are produced by the various dysbiotic organisms.
The organic acid test.
The organic acid test. You can get it through and a combination of that with amino acids is often helpful, but you can do it just by itself. You can get that through either Genova, or you can get that through Great Plains. I've liked working with Great Plains because they're a little bit less expensive on the test, and they give you a really nice, you can call them up and you can say, hey, I want to talk about my test results, and they walk you through it.
Oh, wow, that's great. Well, I did retest the BioHealth one. Remember when I got the H. pylori positive? And then I did all that work with all the supplements, and then when I redid it a year later, it was cleared.
So then start with the organic acid. If it shows up, then you can decide from there. Bring it to a call.
because it would be lovely to have people, to have an organic acid test to go through. I wish Lisa was on, too. She only comes on during the day call, but she's not here. Lisa Filardi, she's a nutritionist. She's gone through a PhD program. She's really smart, and she does a lot of organic acids. So that would be fun to have her on, you know, let us know when the results come back, and I can let Lisa know and say, can you come on too and, you know, provide your own insights as well. So that way we can talk about it. Yeah.
And do you think I feel like also, you know, because as practitioners, we get some of these tests, you get a first one half price or what have you. And that's kind of promoting me to push for the one at Meridian Valley. So if I combine that discount with that sale, which they told me I could, that's almost an irresistible offer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if I did that first because of this deadline of the 31st of this month, that might be
Yeah, do that. I mean, you could do those together. That's not a big deal. But when you say throw everything, I'm starting to think you want to do the whole ion profile that Genova does, and that's certainly a good one too. But and you might want to look into that as well, because I think that includes the organic acids. So if you are looking at throwing the whole book at it, but I always find myself overwhelmed with so much in those things. So yeah, get the test as long as you want to get it under there. And I would also look at getting your organic acids. I think organic acids are like $250 or $300 or something.
Okay. All right, and that's with Genova, or you said Great Plains is really better because
they
give you more
Plains.
Guidance. Yeah.
Great Plains, yeah.
It's cheaper and better customer service. Yeah. And did they do the amino acids also?
Yeah, you can do a combo test with them where they'll do the amino acids and the organic acid together.
Okay.
And you might call them and ask them if they have a practitioner discount on the first test, because you want to learn the test, you want to do it on yourself first. And then so they may have that.
Okay. So I think I should get a heavy metal test too, eventually. But maybe, is that redundant then if I do the organic acid and amino acid? But that's not going to show heavy metal.
Well, heavy metal, you can just do a hair analysis
for
$99 from Dr. Jada.
Because I've had really high metal toxicities many years ago. So I know that, you know.
I'd start with the hair. You work on that, and then you can go back, and you can also do a challenged urine. But I would see what's in the hair first, see what you can do to work on that. There's a lot of chelating agents that are gentle. And then working with your SNPs, if you do have that, to, like, really, really make sure. I don't remember which SNPs you have, but to make sure.
I think there was, like, you name it, it was there. and the scary part is a lot of them were homozygous, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that, and Rena Marie, you know, I know that, and you know, I've got the hunger in my heart to be amazing. And providing for not only myself and my family and my clients to be, but, you know, working with you and your program, providing great things for you. Because my little brain is in there going, wow, we're so excited about this. And at the same time, like, I'll have moments when it's like, you know, and it's usually when I'm still in sleep in the bed or at rest. And then I try to get up and get moving. And it's like somebody's got me hijacked. Like somebody just pulled the plug out. And
so
my brain shuts off.
One more thing in here. So you've got a lot of this biochemistry. We really need to work on it. I mean, this is something to look at when you're working with clients, is sometimes when people have this big vision and they really want it, and there's a fear there. And so the fear keeps them locked into the pattern of dysfunction. Like, oh, well, if I get rid of all this, you know, and this is a subconscious level. You may be totally not aware of it, but I just want to talk about this because it happens a lot where there's a self-sabotage that happens because it's like, oh, well, if I'm out there and I'm healthy, then I'm going to have to perform. Then I'm going to have to actually do this. And what if? And what if being in the spotlight? What if I do something wrong? What if, you know, people don't like me? What if, what if, what if? We all have that. We all have those demons that seek us out, you know, in our sleep. So I would just say make sure that you're also working on that piece, like really work on tapping on the comfort level with it. And what is the fear? Is there a fear? You can do some journaling with yourself. You know those journaling where you talk to the other parts of yourself? You say, okay, inner skeptic, okay, inner protector, inner critic. There's pieces of us that try to protect us, and we don't even know that that's what they're doing. And when we can talk to them and make deals with them, it can be phenomenal. I've done that myself, and I actually found that my inner critic was extremely strong. But my inner critic was part of why I worked so hard to get results. Because my critic was going, you gotta work hard, you gotta do more. So it's how do you create a nice balance with that person, that part of you that's trying to protect you. So just a thought to throw out there as to an avenue to pursue. Okay?
No, it's valid. I've seen that with a lot of people, and I'd be surprised if I find it in me, because I know how strong I am and how desirous I am of success. And being out there and being able to perform and, you know, do the book and videos and all the things that I know are in my future, I'm really excited about that. I don't if that little scared child is in there,
yes.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm certainly not consciously aware of it, so that's definitely worth visiting.
It's worth visiting, and here's one way that I learned that may or may not work for you, but you sit down with a journal, notebook, piece of paper, pencil, and you just start, you put your initials, B-O, some initials, B-O-B, Bob. So, and then you type, you write a question. What part of me is scared for my success? And then just stop and listen. And just stop and listen and let it go, and it might be quiet for a minute or two. And then whatever thought comes into your head, you write it down. Even if it doesn't make sense to you.
The only thing that does pop up when I ask that question is the fear of the physical symptoms that I'm struggling with. Is like I'm very afraid of making a commitment and my body won't live up to it. That scares me.
So then that's
the
thing you explore. That's the thing you explore, and you just keep asking the questions, getting the answers, and don't filter it, and don't even try to understand it while you're doing it. And you may find gems in it. I did this once with Ime. I wrote like 6 pages, and I got some really good gems from it.
Wow.
Okay?
I'll do that. Thank
you.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'll go ahead and I'll get the meridian, the hair analysis, and the organic acid and amino acids. Do you think that's okay to do all that together, or would you not recommend them doing all at the same time? I also have the iodine loading test sitting here to do.
Well, yeah, you can do. I mean, it's up to you. Just feel into what you think is the best thing to do, whether it's best to space it or best to just do it.
No, I mean of the tests. So which of the tests?
What
do
I would do first, probably.
Yeah.
I'd probably look at
the Meridian Valley is such a deal.
Yeah, you know, well, then do it. It's not going to hurt to do it. And you can always go through that. You can get some information about the iodine from that. So what I would probably do would be based on that. If it looks like you have an iodine deficiency, work with that and then do the iodine load test later.
Okay. So start with the Meridian Valley, the big test, and then and you know, it's funny, when I went to look at the order form, it showed that there was actually one called Comprehensive Ultimate. And then
that's
the $5.99? Is that one have
I think
everything?
That's the $5.99 one that has everything, including
oxytocin. Okay, that's the Mac
Day.
Okay. Because the other ones are called Comp Plus, and on the call you were calling them Comprehensive Plus. But then
yeah, the one I usually do is Comp Plus. I usually do the Comp, because that was the one that they originally had when I started doing it. And then they added the other one within the last year or so. And the Comp Plus has got the whole comprehensive thing plus GH, growth hormone.
Well, there's 4 different Comp Pluses. So there's Comp Plus with oxytocin. There's Comp Plus with melatonin. There's Comp Plus with HGH, which is the growth hormone. And then there's Comp Plus that includes T3, T4, and 2-16 alpha.
Yeah, I have to look at it. I haven't looked at it recently because I know that we would always do the Comp Plus with the HGH.
Okay. But I guess if you want
the
ultra, melatonin.
The Comprehensive Ultra has everything.
Ultimate. Yeah.
Ultimate,
so I'm going to
yeah.
do the Ultimate. I think that's the test that's on the deal before the end of July. So just for anybody that wants to know. And
we'll try
thank
it
you
now.
So much for your patience.
You're so welcome.
I'm
so
grateful.
Welcome. You, really we just want to see you help. So bring your test as a case study, and we'll learn from it. We'll all learn from it.
Thank you.
I need
and
to
my,
get going.
I was just going to say real quickly, you know, the other thing, too, is God works in mysterious ways. The two people on my team that want that put their membership on kind of a freeze, you know, I'm hoping to get them back, too. And actually, I talked to Lynn this morning, and she's going to be sending me her labs because I've been trying to prompt them to get, you know, get going with this, and I still haven't heard back from Cheryl. So that's just on a side note. But I'm excited about getting my stuff and in my revelations being able to help others. So God bless you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay. Love to.
All right. So I think we're at the end. I have another call in 7 minutes, so I need to go get some water and do all that kind of stuff in between. So thank you all for being here. I'm going to open up your lines so we can just say bye to each other. Thank you for your great questions, great comments. I mean, this whole process of working through and talking through just, I think, it helps us all to grow. So thanks so much. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.